Life is about core memories, creating moments with your friends, with your kids that you guys will never forget. And we have one right in our backyard here, Atlanta United. I can't stress this enough to you guys. If you haven't gone, it is the most spectacular sports event in Atlanta. The crowd is wild. They never sit down. It is electric. It is an amazing event each and every week. And the games are right down the street. It is Atlanta. Go online, get your tickets today. ATLUTD.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Promise to you guys, we know it's an election year, but we're not talking about politics on this Bert Show. It's not going to hear it. But if you did, it would sound like this. It's kind of good that it's an election year in some ways, because the president and his cabinet are going to try to snatch up some votes before the election. And if you're a traveler, this is one way to do it.
This is a major change from the Department of Transportation, and again, it affects your money. Take a look at this, because passengers must now get automatic cash refunds when a flight is canceled for any reason or delayed by more than 3 hours for domestic flights, more than 6 hours for international. But there's more here. If the airline changes any of your airports, adds connections, downgrades your seat, or even changes the plane to one that's less accessible to those with disabilities, those are all new reasons for cash refunds. Also, the small issues, if your checked bags aren't delivered within as little as 12 hours or your Wi-Fi doesn't work, you're entitled to refunds there too, and you should get that money back within 7 business days. Now, I've got to tell you though, this won't happen right away, and that's because the DOT says that airlines need some time to put it in place. There's a deadline though. They have 6 months to do it.
Dang.
That's impressive.
This is about time.
This must have hit you right in the soul. As the guy that I have met that loses the most luggage, or have airlines lose the most luggage, this is a wet dream for you.
I didn't believe it. I went to like 3 or 4 different sites to make sure that it was credible information, because yes, I've lost my bag several times. I've had to miss flight several times, and it is always such a hassle to try to be compensated in any way for it. So for me, I mean, I think this is not only great for the people, it should be better for the airlines, that you know how this process is going to work and you don't have people having to call you and wait on the phone for hours to try to get your money back.
I don't know that they're going to be entirely happy about this. So let's just read through this line by line for just 1 second. Airlines will be required to comply with the new rules, which require, capital letters, cash refunds for cancellations and long delays as an expansion of passenger rights. Yay. But you won't get $300 for a 1 hour delay. Here's how the whole thing's going to work. Passengers will be entitled to a refund if their flight is canceled or significantly changed and they do not accept alternative transportation or travel credits. That's important.
Very important.
Absolutely.
This includes airlines changing your itinerary before the day of your trip. The delays covered would be more than 3 hours for domestic flights and more than 6 hours for international flights. This includes tickets directly from the airlines, or if you're still using a travel agent or a third-party site like Travelocity or Expedia. To be clear, you get the refund if you don't take the later, the delayed or rescheduled flight. So if your flight is canceled and they're able to put you on a flight the next morning, if you opt to take it, that is accepting alternative travel.
That makes sense.
All right. Basically, to save travelers from having to haggle and chase down compensation, spells it all out right there. So this is really good news.
I mean, I just feel like it'll be a more organized situation for all parties involved, because I'm sure when the airlines, they struggle too when people are calling, trying to get any kind of compensation. Mm-hmm. Now it's like at least there's some form of a strategy in place to where everybody should know what to expect.
And again, like they said in that piece right there, don't expect it like tomorrow. Like, yeah. Don't go right on up to the counter after your flight's delayed tomorrow and go, you owe me $300.
You know they'll do that, though.
Yeah, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to take about 6 months to start incorporating a lot of this stuff into it. All right, speaking of transportation here, producer Jackson got himself into a fender bender, and he believes he wasn't wrong, except the insurance company says, no, we're going to take this one, and you're wrong.
Yeah, this is my very first car accident that I've been
Yay!
In.
Oh,
congratulations. Oh, welcome.
I'm okay. Thank you for asking.
Oh, that's what we meant. Are you okay?
Yeah, that's what we meant.
About a week ago, it was my girlfriend's birthday. So after work, I was like, I'm going to swing by Target and grab some decorations and some snacks and, you know, some other nice things to get her.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Right. And so I go to Target, I go into their parking deck, and it's actually weirdly crowded in the afternoon, and I pull into one of the, you know, lanes where all the parking spots are. There's one spot open on the left, and I go to pull into the spot, and unbeknownst to me, the person that was to the right of this parking spot was still in their car. And right as I pulled in, they shot their door open and I hit them directly on like the frame of their door.
Dang it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it hits and immediately I'm like, of course this happens, right? So then I get out of the car. She is not happy. And
I see a lot of trucks and cars around town that don't have doors on the sides.
Right? Right.
But shouldn't she have made sure, like,
yes,
that her
right?
way was clear before opening her door?
You would think that reasonably, if there's an open spot, right?
Mm-hmm, how fast were you pulling into this parking spot that you couldn't stop yourself and you were taken out a door?
The thing is, it happened so quick. Like, I was midway through the spot and then I hit something and I looked and I'm there and it happened. Like, it happened super quickly.
If that's the way you explained it to the insurance company, I'm pretty sure I know their stance on it.
But I don't think I was really going, like, egregiously fast pulling into the spot. And so, you know, we exchange information, call the police, they come, they give the report. I'm sitting in my car. And no less than 10 minutes after this happens, I immediately get a call from my insurance company saying that a claim has already been filed by her.
They were eager.
I was like, wow, she's really quick to get her side of the story out here.
She called as fast as you pulled into that spot.
And so, you know, I make the statements to the insurance company and everything, and I'm doing all this research. And like you had mentioned, Kristen, like, you'd think that it's reasonable for, if there's an empty spot next to you, for you to be on the lookout for someone that could potentially pull in there. So, like, recently I get a call from insurance and I'm expecting them to give me good news. And she's like, we're placing 100% of the blame on you.
What?
Wow.
And I was...
Did you have to say 100%?
Yeah, right?
Just rubbing it in.
Like, it could have been both of our faults or something.
Not even 90-10?
Yeah.
And so my car does have cameras on it, and so it recorded the incident. But of course, right as we hit, the camera cuts out, and then it skips to us being post-post hit.
Are you serious?
It shows me, like, right about to pull in, and then it skips straight to afterwards.
What?
I know, which is super annoying.
Like somebody setting you up at this point.
Right? God. It's an act of God.
So I'm questioning the insurance adjuster, and I'm like, why is this my fault? Like, you know, I'm going through the details again, explaining everything. And I sent them the video, too, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this isn't showing much, but, like, you know, you can see that I'm pulling in, her door's closed, and then it skips. And immediately she comes back to me with a pretty crazy attitude, telling me that...
The insurance adjuster?
Yeah. And was saying that I was, like, over the line, but then I was like, she swung her door out into the line. So I just don't understand how it's my fault. And I'm trying to figure out, like, can I ask for another someone to, like, investigate it or something? Because I don't want to deal with this.
What a hassle. And this is why I encourage people not to have insurance at all.
That's illegal.
I took it further than that. That's why I don't have a car.
Smart. Get it. The Burt Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. You made it all the way through that segment. How'd you like it? Was it like a 5-star segment? Well, prove it to us. We'd love a review and 5 stars if you got the time. Thanks a lot for listening.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
By the way, that was a joke. It's illegal not to have insurance.
We said that. Okay. Hopefully people realize that.
For legal reasons.
You'd be surprised today.
Yeah. Okay, one of the Kardashians, according to a grocery store employee, is pregnant. This is basically like somebody on Twitter going, somebody's pregnant. It feels a little not credible. But
it sounds a whole lot not credible.
But one of my favorite comedians, Daniel Tosh, was on his podcast and said that he is the one that had this conversation. So he said that he was at a grocery store that he frequents in California, and they were closed for like an entire day yesterday when I guess he was going to go get his groceries. And he asked one of the employees that worked there, he was like, why was this shut down for the entire day? It's a Monday. This is Publix or Kroger or whatever. It's very odd for you guys to be shut down for an entire workday. And I guess the grocery store employee said that there was a pretty good reason from the Kardashians.
You ever talk to employees at grocery stores?
A little bit.
I try to avoid it. Anyway, I was talking to this guy, and I said, why were you guys closed yesterday? And he tells me, he goes, well, I'm not supposed to discuss it, but Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the show, was filming their season finale here yesterday. All right, spoiler alert. This is for the upcoming season of the show. This is the big season finale. This random grocery store person is telling me that they rented out the entire store, shut it down, and then they acted like they were grocery shopping, and then this was the scene that apparently happened, that Kylie reveals that she's pregnant again with, wait for it, Timothy Chalamet's kid.
What?
Holy moly, what a bombshell. Mm-hmm. That's big. That's big news in our household because we love Wonka.
No.
Now he's going to have a baby with Kylie. Now, this might not be true. I'm not verifying anything. This is just what an employee at a grocery store in Malibu told me.
Just what you hear.
Isn't that neat?
The real bombshell here is that Daniel Tosh is still doing something. I haven't heard his name in years. Just like, I used to love that show.
He's flying under the radar for sure. People are making all kinds of jokes like, Timothy Chalamet looks like a sickly Victorian child. The fact that he can procreate is shocking.
What? Wow. That is a good-looking kid.
I mean, he's good-looking in like a 1850s kind of way. Like when he was in Little Women, I was like, this adds up.
So why would she reveal that information at a grocery store? Because like, is she there buying a pregnancy test?
Like Kardashians, they're just like us. Yeah, look right at them buying their own produce after renting out the entire Albertsons.
So weird.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's true, though, that's big news.
That's huge.
It's huge news. And she's been really good at hiding her pregnancies in the past. So it's very shocking that just this random grocery store clerk has now revealed all this information.
I would assume, though, if they closed down the entire store, they made all those employees sign an NDA.
Yes, this guy's pretty stupid is what I'm hearing.
Busted.
Busted. Okay, we almost didn't get one of the most iconic movie songs of all time. Kristen sent me this, where Celine Dion was talking to Vogue about some of her most iconic looks, and she was talking about one that she wore when she sang My Heart Will Go On at the Oscars. And she said, yeah, apparently James Cameron didn't even want her singing it in the movie.
The writer came, I think, secretly, and I was in Las Vegas. Renee and I were there, and he started to play us the song. Yeah. Far, wherever are you? And my husband is watching me and he's watching him. And he said, James, we should stop right now. And I'm like, and I'm looking at Renee and I'm like this. I don't want to sing the song. So he says to the writer, he says, James, I have an idea. Why don't we just go to Los Angeles? We'll do like a little maquette, a little demo. She can put her voice on it.
So they end up flying out to LA doing the demo. Get this. She does the vocals in one take.
Dang.
The song that we know and love today was her doing the demo, trying to convince James Cameron to put her in the song, even though she seemed very reluctant about it.
Really?
One take. And that's what's created this iconic song that almost wasn't even in the film.
I can't do a 30-second commercial in one take.
Yeah, and like James Cameron didn't want anybody singing on the song. Like he just wanted instrumentals.
Wow.
Like he was against the whole entire thing. And then she cuts the demo, and then the demo becomes the song. The song gets in the movie. It becomes one of the greatest songs of all time. And then it wins an Oscar with her wearing the Heart of the Ocean necklace.
Wow.
On stage.
It's such an iconic moment. Yeah. And there's something about a specific song attached to a movie that makes you remember the movie more. Like, I feel like every big film has that soundtrack that when you hear it, you immediately get taken back to a scene.
God, do you remember the movie with Renee Zellweger and Tom Cruise?
Oh, Jerry Maguire?
Yes, and that Secret Garden song with Bruce Springsteen, and they had the two of them talking in the background of it or whatever.
And every radio station in America was playing that song
incessantly.
With clips from the movie. So cheesy. But damn, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, man, I hate that song.
You had me at hello. All right, HarperCollins is holding off on putting out Rebel Wilson's memoir, all because of one page. I'll tell you what's been redacted on your next Eva's on The Bird Show.
Hey, y'all. It's Katie here from The Bird Show. Pride unites us all, and so does Atlanta United. That's why I'm giving you the chance to win a spot in The Bird Show's Pride Night Suite in celebration of Pride Month. That's right. Join me and The Bird Show crew on Sunday, June 2nd, as Atlanta United takes on the fierce rival, Charlotte FC, with kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We need to beat Charlotte, so we will be loud and proud. Believe that. Oh, and by the way, did I mention Atlanta United is giving away a one-of-a-kind Pride-inspired towel, plus a $5 donation to Lost and Found Youth, an Atlanta-based nonprofit that provides services to the LGBTQ plus youth, which is included with your Pride Night ticket pack. Remember, to enter for your chance to win a spot in The Bird Show's Pride Night Suite, head over to thebirdshow.com. To guarantee your tickets and Pride towel, go to atlutd.com and click the promotional packs tab for more details. Can't wait to see you all there June 2nd at 4:30 p.m. Together, we are Atlanta. Atlanta United. See you there.
If you're looking for somewhere to celebrate, whether it be a birthday or a graduation or an anniversary, may I recommend an Atlanta United match? So my husband and I just celebrated our 7th wedding anniversary. He is a massive Atlanta United fan. So, of course, we decided to go to a match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and had the best time. I'm telling you, if you're a super fan, if you're a casual fan, going to an Atlanta United match is a great way to celebrate. My husband got to watch a great match, and I got to enjoy delicious wine, and I also may have gone to the team shop and got myself a new sweatshirt. I'm very excited about my new Atlanta United sweatshirt. And kudos to Atlanta's fan base, because every time we ride MARTA to go down to a match, it is packed full of people wearing their Atlanta United gear. Visit ATLUTD.com for tickets and also for the match schedule. That's ATLUTD.com.
Get it? The Bird Show.
So I've been keeping something in the dark for a few weeks because I've been trying to process it, but I think I'm finally ready to talk about it. A good friend of mine, really good friend of mine, passed away recently. And when it rains, it pours. I've been going through a lot of things, but this one was like, I just didn't even want to deal with it.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, dude.
I appreciate y'all. And I know I haven't processed it because I haven't cried yet. And that's normally the telling sign for me. But I wasn't sure how to talk about it. And I think I was trying purposely to distract myself because I just didn't want to deal with it in full transparency. But this guy, this is a guy I grew up with. I went to high school with. We played ball together. He was a part of my life, my entire life, for most of it. And he's honestly the greatest dude I've ever known. Like, the guy is just such a great guy that I think when I was thinking about coming in here and speaking about him, how do I want to talk about him? How do I want him to be represented? And I feel like with his personality and the way he lived his life, it wouldn't be for me to come in here and cry and be sad. That's not who he was. That's not what he was about. He was the kind of person that just never really seemed to care about himself. It was always about everybody else. He's the most selfless person I've ever known. Always wanted to help, never wanted the credit for helping. And so I was like, I'm trying to think of a couple of stories that I think would represent him in a good light, in the light that I always saw him in. And a couple stories came to mind. And the first one, which was like unbelievable to me to this day, we were all going on vacation one time. I'll never forget this. It was like four guys. And there was a kid that was lost in the airport. And we're on our way to the flights. And this kid is frantically trying to find his parents. He missed a flight to make sure that kid found his parents. Like, we all got on the flight. He didn't get on the flight. Took, I think, maybe 8 hours away from his vacation. And when he finally got there, we're all like, what happened? Are you okay? He's like, yeah, he found his parents. It's fine. Let's go party. Like, he didn't want to thank you, didn't want the credit, didn't want anything. Literally didn't even hesitate to help that kid go find his parents before he got on that flight to go enjoy his life. That perfectly represents the kind of person he was. And I think of another time when we were working together at this store, which we all did not like this job, but it was a job. It was one of our first jobs. It was what we did, what we had to do. And we got this really rude customer one day. I mean, I don't know what was going on with this woman, but she came in there cursing, and she was doing a lot, and he was taking it on. He was taking the abuse, trying to calm her down, trying to still enlighten her day, even though she was being so rude. And it bothered me to see that he did that and that she was being so rude and he was being so nice. And so I was a bit rude back to her because I just couldn't take it anymore. And so later on in the day, when the management got there, they sat us all down and they were like, you know, we had got a complaint from a customer and we need to know who it was. And so before I could get up and say, all right, it was me, he stands up and says, it was me. So I'm looking at him like, bro, what are you doing? No, it wasn't. He looks at me like, shut up. I got this. So I'm like, okay. So he takes the blame for it. Ends up getting fired. I call him afterwards. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, you didn't have to do that for me, man. I know you. I appreciate it. You my guy. But why'd you do that? He's like, what are you talking about? Like, stop being so full of yourself. I didn't do that for you. I hated that job. I was looking for any reason to leave. why does it have to be about you, Bo? I'm like, what? He's like, man, he's like, this made my day to be done with that job. But that's just the kind of person he was. And I even remember another time where this was at a point in my life when I was really trying to find my way as an artist. And I was working with Murder, Inc. at the time. And if you're not familiar with hip hop, there was a time when Murder, Inc. was a really, really big record label. It was Ja Rule, Ashanti, Irv Gotti, Lloyd, the list goes on. And they asked me to come into this studio right around the time when they were really peaking. And this was when they were beefing with 50 Cent. And it was like, it was a widely known beef. This beef has been going on for years. And this was like at the heart of it. And I remember being so young at that time that I was like, intimidated to go in there and try to write for these dudes. And I didn't really know anybody, but they knew I was talented. They wanted me to come in there. So I had to call somebody to at least come with me. And he came to mind because I knew he'd be the one person that I knew that was not afraid. And he would go in there, he would have my back, and he would just support me through whatever I needed to do. And one of the most memorable moments of my life, in the middle of this beef with these two artists, I asked him to come. He shows up. We're sitting in what they call the writing room. And I'm trying to come up with ideas to write. Everyone is. So as they turn the music off, we're all kind of in our corners writing. Everybody that you can think of is in this room, from Ja Rule to Irv Gotti to Lloyd. Everybody in the label is in this room. A phone goes off. It's his phone. It's as loud as it could be. It's playing a 50 Cent song. The whole room pauses. Everybody stops. I mean, you could cut the tension with a knife. It was like, I was sitting there like, you have got to be kidding me, dude. You came in here with a 50 Cent ringtone. And this is when, like, ringtones was a real big deal.
We bought them.
Yeah, exactly. So now they know you paid for it. You're supporting him. Like, you are completely ops at this point. So I'm sitting there in a full-blown panic thinking, like, we are about to get hurt. Like, this is not going to end well. And I'll never forget this dude just calmly, patiently trying to find his phone, like not even in a panic, not in a rush, saying, give me a second. He finds it. He turns it off and he goes, well, that wasn't fun. Where were we? Like nothing happened. And everybody is just sitting there looking at him. And I think because his demeanor was so non-threatening and non-worried that it kind of just leaked through the room. Mm-hmm. And at a point of where I feel like everybody probably would have gotten angry and maybe even volatile in that moment, his whole demeanor of like, yeah, sorry about that. Anyway.
It like loosened the room up a little bit.
It lightened the room up. Yeah. And it got me a writing credit for one of Lloyd's songs that day. And that's just the kind of guy he was. And I will always miss him. I love him. And cheers to his family. I'm thinking about y'all. But what a great guy. We lost somebody really special.
Sorry for your loss, man.
Thank you.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
I am being pressured to get into a relationship that I am not ready for, and y'all need to stop. So for the first time I can remember decades, I've got nobody in my house except myself. My son's there about 50% of the time. However, right now, coming home, we talked about this, coming home and having no responsibilities and no heartbeats to take care of, that is glorious. The silence is glorious. The mental load is gone. I got nothing right now. However, from time to time, I have been dog sitting for my ex-wife. Sugar Bear has been over at the house from time to time. She's awesome. You guys keep asking me, what kind of dog she is? And my response is the same. Not my dog. I don't know. But I really enjoy when she's over the house, and I've posted that a couple of different times on Instagram, and everybody's like, oh, it's time for a dog. It's time for a dog. You should get a this breed. You should get a that breed. I want no breed. Right? I'm just not ready for it. You know, like, I am really enjoying sort of this time where I get, look, I love traveling. I'm going to Savannah this weekend. I don't got to worry about trying to find a place mm-hmm. for my dog to stay over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. I am really enjoying it. But every day, I feel like I am getting another DM from a Burt Show listener whose heart is in the right place. Like, they know a dog that's being fostered, or a dog that needs to be adopted, or bulldog rescues, and they're drawing me in that direction. And I just want to tell you, I am not ready for all that. And for all you guys that have been suggesting to me all these breeds, like, golden retrievers are awesome. You should get a Doberman Pinscher. When I am ready for a dog, again, this is the kind of dog I'm going to get. Similar to the ones I have had before. I want a dog that celebrates me when I come into the house. So much so, I don't even care if it pees. To me, that's a compliment. I am so excited to see you. I can't control my innards. That's awesome.
Don't almost all dogs do that?
I don't know. I've only had bulldogs do that.
Oh, well,
and that's the point I'm going to make here also. This is the dog I'm looking for. The dog that looks at me and can't wait to go on a walk. And then when we get on that walk, when we're 3 minutes into it, he looks up at me and he goes, I didn't really want to do this.
I'm good.
This is too much.
Bulldog's your breed.
That's it. All right. And for those of you guys that have now been pressuring me for a rescue, I am definitely thinking about it. It gets a little tricky with bulldogs and rescue for some other reasons that I have, just because their lifespan is just not that long. So if you get, I don't want to discourage you from getting an English bulldog, but man, for a guy that just lost one, it's so heartbreaking. I'm thinking I want to extend that life as long as I can, right?
Do you know what I want to do when I get older? Like, when Jimmy's out of the house, I would love to adopt senior dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And give them the best possible yes. life for what little life they have
oh,
left.
Oh, my God, that would be cool.
I would love to do that.
That would be really, really amazing right there. And to be honest with you, I saved Riggins, my favorite bulldog of all time. I saved his gunk one time before he got his nads cut off. I saved it, and it's been sitting in a freezer, not my freezer.
Okay. That was going to be my first question.
It's right next to the Häagen-Dazs. Yeah. Don't get the two confused.
Oh, wait, don't drink that. Don't drink that. That's not ice.
What flavor is this?
Can you imagine? Why is your ice cream salty?
So each and every month I pay to have them keep to store his gunk. So the idea of taking that gunk and putting it into a female bulldog is very appealing to me, to have like a second Riggins. I already have a name picked out. RJ Riggins Jr.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's probably the direction I'm going to go. So I am asking you guys, because I am weak. I am so weak. And I got this picture the other day of a beagle puppy. I almost ran right over there and said, give it to me. So I am... While I know I am not ready, the healthy thing to do is not get a dog right now. So please leave me alone. That's all I'm asking is please leave me alone. You're happy with, you know what I'm saying, is you come into the house and there's just nothing there.
Yeah, no, it's very peaceful, man. And I feel for you, because I feel like I've been in this situation for so long that I'm afraid to go back. I don't know if I could really handle having so many heartbeats in the house again. And I've wanted a dog for a long time. But I'm like so yes. accustomed to this, man. And people who say that they live this way for years, they say it's very difficult to go back.
Now, people have suggested, as sort of in the middle, go ahead, get yourself a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know you would endorse.
Well, listen, I think a lot of people, and maybe it's just the mid-20s things, a lot of people that think they want kids really want a dog, and a lot of people who think they want dogs really want a cat because of the level of responsibility. You can travel. I travel all the time. All I have to do is leave her out some food, some water, some signs around my apartment in case it burns down. Someone can come get my cat mm-hmm. and rescue it. You don't have to do anything except for just let it right. exist. It's like a roommate, but it's furry and cute. And it gets excited when you walk in the door.
Yeah, here's the problem. I want my women to be independent. I want my animals to be codependent on me. I want them to need me. I want them to need my love. And cats don't need you, man.
My cat needs me at 2 a.m. when she realizes her food is not in her bowl. She's needing me then.
If they could, I have always maintained that if cats could, they would, like, put that head, you know, they rub their head on you like, I love you so much.
Cute.
Right? And then when you walk away, if they could do it, they would flip you off with their middle paw every single time.
It's the love-hate relationship of my dreams.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
All right, we say Burt Show real funny. This one's going to be way more real than it is funny. Trigger warning here, Kristen.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing eating disorders.
That's not fun.
No, it is not, but it's also important to discuss. So we have Jessica Hutchison of the Honest Women podcast joining us today to give some free therapy for Free Therapy Thursday. And Burt, what is Honest Women?
Honest Women is a podcast on the Pioneer Network, which, hey, I own that thing, and I'm very proud of this show.
All right, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today. She also does the podcast with Andrea Berkley. She's the co-host of Honest Women podcast, and I'm just going to go ahead and dive into this email so you can get to it because I think there's a lot to cover here, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. So it says, hi, Burt Show. Quick backstory. Growing up, my mom was into fad diets and diet pills. Name a diet, she tried it. I grew up with my mom struggling with her own self-worth, a big factor of where my previous eating disorders came from. Context, I am now grown, out of the house, married, 30 years old. My mom is a wonderful mother that struggled continuously with her self-worth and body image and did her entire life. She's been on another type of diet and lifestyle change that has had great results. She was able to walk on the beach and enjoy her vacation with a little less pain. I am thrilled she gets to enjoy life more. Here's my issue. I want to be very supportive of my mom, and I know she's proud of herself, and I try to tell her that I'm proud of her when I can tell she's excited to tell me her progress. She'll send my sister and I photos each week of her progress and her weigh-ins. Here's my battle. How can I be a supportive daughter while at the same time, this is 30% of what we talk about? This is my mom's obsession. See very similar patterns throughout my life. I never want her to feel dismissive or feel more guilt about my previous battle with ED. Full disclosure, I am body neutral now after 15 years. Some things that my mom brings up when she's talking about her diet are triggering to me. Some examples, her current diet doesn't let her have fruit due to sugars. She is weighing a lot of her food and has to prepackage meals, all which I guess are part of many diets, but it's taken me so many years to feel neutral about myself. How can I stay supportive while also not getting sucked back into my previous harmful negative thoughts about my own body? Thanks from trying to be supportive and not an awful daughter.
Look, it's a compliment when you guys hit us up and you're like, hey, Burcho, I'd love some advice on blank, right? And we have opinions, but we're not professionals, you guys, right? In a case like this, we needed to bring a professional on. And like Kristen was saying, this is Jessica Hutchison of Honest Women. All right, so where do we start here, Jessica?
Okay, here's where I want to start. And first, I just want to speak directly to this listener and tell her she is already an amazing and supportive daughter, as evidenced by writing this email into the show. So I just want to start there. And I really, above anything else, want her to hear that. She truly is already amazing and supportive. However, I know y'all want my advice, so I'll go to that next.
Okay. Nice is one thing.
I know, Bert, but I'm sitting here and I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking is, oh my God, your compassion for your mother right now, can you inject that into our society?
Right.
That's truly what I'm thinking, right? So anywho, though, on to the advice, blah, blah, blah. I really want to challenge this listener and anybody listening, actually, to define what being supportive actually means, because it is not about helping someone you love through anything and everything. That is, we're not as humans capable of doing that. So being supportive is also knowing what you can and cannot sit with somebody in. And I think a lot of therapists here would say the blanket statement of set a boundary. I'm not going to do it. I actually am going to tell you that I am going to push against that whole boundary, because I firmly believe that we often use boundaries in place of vulnerability. And boundaries do not always strengthen relationships, and they certainly don't protect us. In fact, they can often isolate us and block off true connection. So to this listener, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here to lean in to the vulnerability and have a really honest conversation with your mother. And the only reason I'm saying that is because of the context of this email. There's a lot of detail that tells me that she feels a sense of safety with her mom, and they have a very, very close relationship. That's what it sounds like. So we think it's important for her to tell her mother what this conversation, how it's negatively impacting her. She can be supportive still without having all of the details. And strangely enough, I have like this exact same situation going on in my office right now. And so I'm giving this listener the same advice that I gave one of my clients who just had this conversation with her mother. And she said for the first time in her 26 years, she feels closer to her mother than she ever has before because her mom has a deeper understanding of her as a human being.
Dang. You're pretty good at this therapy thing.
Okay, you know.
Cass.
Jessica, so one of the things I saw recently, which I loved, was that you can't avoid all triggers and you're responsible for handling your own triggers and how you deal with them. But what advice would you give someone who is either recovered from an eating disorder or suffering through one when they come across a trigger, like in the wild from a friend or a family member, on how to deal with it personally?
Yeah, you know, I think we have to sit with them. We have become like this avoidance society where it's like triggers are bad. Guess what, folks? Like, that's a part of humanity. Like, being human means you're going to constantly be triggered because we have a lot of stories. Now, knowing that, I think it's important to look at our narratives around it. So when we're talking about something about an eating disorder, my first thought is, what is the narrative? What does it mean about you? Right? What's that story you're telling yourself? And if it's shame-based or it's really negative, that makes the trigger a lot bigger than it could be if we redefine the narrative around it.
So I have an opinion about this on the parenting side. There is nothing more sobering to me than when my kid comes to me and says something I did affected him, right? So if she were to go to mom, if mom's a good parent, and sees the effect that it's having on the very thing that I find most precious in life, I think that it's going to get a way better outcome than she's anticipating.
I completely agree. And I would tell you and tell this listener and anybody else, prepare for defense, because as a mom myself, if my kid comes up to me and says something I did hurt them, every part of me wants to defend myself. And so prepare for it. But you can also lean into the defense and say, mom, I'm not telling you you're a horrible mom. I'm simply trying to tell you a story to feel understood. I want you to know me better. There's not a mom out there that's not going to say, okay, I will listen to every single word my daughter says to me. If it's from the standpoint of I want to feel more understood.
Again, it's the Honest Women podcast. Tell them about the very special two-part series.
Okay, you guys, this was the first time that, and Andrea and I are not good at starting and stopping at all. This was the first time we had to stop ourselves and say, we have to do a two-part series or a two-part episode. So it is on the hottest topic of all, which is money in marriage. And so not only did we have so much to say, which we always do, but in the second episode, which just went out on Tuesday, you actually kind of see firsthand how taking these honest conversations into your home or into your marriages can be effective, because I actually took this conversation, woke my husband up at 6 o'clock in the morning and had an honest conversation. God bless the guy. But and then talked about how that was like I drank my own Kool-Aid, essentially. And then on top of that, can I tell them what we launched today?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so then today we just launched our first what we're calling Hot Take Thursday, where we are answering our own listeners' questions. And let me tell you guys, this is the most unedited and unfiltered version of us. So it's like that whole, I don't actually want you to tell me, but I'm going to tell you. And so we like to say, listen, we may not be right, Bert, but I'll tell you what, we've got an opinion.
It's the Honest Women podcast. Jessica, you're great. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you.
Happy to be there. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Sacha Baron Cohen said, lawyer up, because I'm coming for you, Rebel Wilson.
Really?
If you remember this, a couple weeks ago, Rebel Wilson came out of hiding to talk about this new memoir she's got coming out called Rebel Rising. And she didn't even make you buy the book to tell you who the biggest a-hole she's ever encountered in Hollywood is. She said in bold letters in every headline on all the entertainment sites for a couple of weeks that she thought that Sacha Baron Cohen's behavior towards her on a set of a movie they worked on was just absolutely unacceptable. She like really let him have it. And of course, Sacha Baron Cohen comes out and is like, none of this is true, blah, 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 from a statement. And so now they're really taking it seriously because HarperCollins, who is publishing Rebel Rising, says that they have redacted one page, a single page from their from her memoir. And that's why they're now pushing back the release date a full month, because now they have to reprint all these books because of whatever she said about his behavior in this book.
Is this the first time this has happened where somebody comes after somebody and they have to republish the book?
I don't know, but there must be enough truth in what he's saying that she's like, okay, maybe I embellish that. I'll take that one out.
Here's what I think happened. I think Sacha Baron Cohen came to HarperCollins or her legal team or whatever and said, I'm going to come with legal action. I'm going to give a defamation. I'm going to say that this is defamation or slander or whatever. And just the legal fees wouldn't really outweigh, even if it is true, you know, because how do you really prove it if there's no footage or receipts or whatever? So I think Rebel and her team were probably like, we already got the publicity from saying that this is in the book. Yeah. Let's just take it back and not put it in the book.
How does this even get through all the editors and the legal team at the publisher? That's what I want to, like, you know, with Britney and her Justin stories as well. I mean, those must have been true. Otherwise, he would have pushed back. But I just don't understand how you can read that. And yeah, it's juicy. So maybe an editor's like, heck yeah, we're keeping this in. But after that, there's got to be decision makers who are like, have we validated this? Is this accurate? Are we going to get hit with a defamation suit?
Really quick, just because somebody doesn't push back doesn't make it true.
Mm-hmm. And I also think
even though Justin didn't push back, doesn't necessarily mean every single thing she said. Like, I'm sure there is validity and she has every right to share her side of the story. But just because he didn't push back doesn't mean that he doesn't have a different version that he's not willing to share.
I mean, there are two sides to every story, and there's also the truth. But I would be shocked if an A-list celeb didn't step out with something that really slanders his character like that, saying that's not true in some capacity.
It's very rare where you actually see a celebrity take legal action. They usually come out and go, look, that's not true. Don't buy that book. But the editors and Rebel herself might be going like, you know what, we're going to take the hit here because he's going to deny it, and then we'll all move on with our lives. But this dude is like, oh, no, I am defending myself here because this is so untrue. And I also think in a small way, it kind of discredits the rest of the book.
It is kind of funny, too, coming from a man knowing his career, like what he put other people through, you know what I mean, as far as like his pranks and stuff like that. That he would be going in this hard because there's so many people that could have sued him. You know what I mean? Because of his antics over the years.
But this is an attack on his character.
Yeah, but I mean, some of what he did put people in a position. They didn't attack his character, but he attacked other people's characters by putting them in situations that made them look really, really stupid.
Well, they reacted in a real way.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah. So, but what he's saying is that never happened.
This is complete speculation. I'm just trying to get into the head. But he recently went through a divorce from Isla Fisher, his wife of 20 years, who is a redhead actress who plays Shopaholic, if you don't know who she is. She's been in a ton of stuff. I wonder if, like, he's emotionally in such a sensitive place with that divorce. Because that's hard, even if you both agree to it, and even if it's mutual, that when this came out, maybe that's what pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I'm already dealing with one set of divorce lawyers. What's one more to take down Rebel Wilson?
Look, there are some things that I will dig in on. If there was a rumor out there about me that was so untrue and attacked my character, this might be one. But like if somebody said I did something like that had something to do with like the consent and they were blaming me for something, that is so important to me that I don't care what it costs. All right. If it's untrue, then I defend myself. And in this case, that just might be where his head's at.
I would agree. I mean, I don't know much, honestly, about these people and their histories and their past. But for me personally, yeah, if I was being attacked for something that was that serious, that's the only time I would come outside to defend myself.
Yeah, so now I need Rebel Wilson to release this one page on, like, a Patreon right. or whatever. I will pay to know what you said. Even if you want to put a disclaimer that none of it is true or that it's all alleged, just put alleged in front of everything, I will cough up some cash for it. So let me know, Rebel. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it? The Burt Show.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it swim is one of the sayings that I think should be out there in the world, but it is not.
I say that one again.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it swim.
Well, you just changed one word to make yours.
Yeah, I know. There's sayings that should be out there, but are currently not. And I was brought into this kind of light from a TikTok I saw from the Playdate podcast where they were making up very insightful figures of speech that are not real, but should be.
All right, these are even more sayings that don't exist. I've got, put your finger on the hose. It means when you're kind of spreading yourself thin and you need to dial it in and concentrate on one thing. So, you know, maybe you're talking to a bunch of different ladies. Your buddy might say, hey, you really like this one girl? I think it's time you put your finger on the hose and, you know, lock her up.
I got, don't mistake a parrot for a prophet. You know how your dad's always like regurgitating information that they've heard and you're like, you're just saying stuff you heard. You don't actually even know what you're saying. Don't mistake a parrot for a prophet.
That's so good.
Liam helped me with that one.
That's sick. One. I feel like that one should exist already. That's firing me up. Buying a new bike won't make you pedal faster.
Nice. I forgot how good at this you are. That's awesome.
You got to put in the work. Just get the shiny new thing. Isn't going to do it for you.
I got, the sweeter the wine, the worse the hangover. So you might be enjoying it in the moment and indulging, but you're going to have to pay for it later.
Yeah. Everything has a cost.
Exactly.
I've got, let's not make a stop sign a red light. Don't get overly hung up on a small issue and let it halt your overall progress. Keep going. Keep pushing through.
Fantastic.
You got to stop, make an adjustment, keep going.
So good. I got, a chameleon is never underdressed. So if you can adapt to your surroundings, you're going to fit in a little bit better.
I feel like we came back sizzling.
Really? I was 50-50 on that one. I didn't know if you're going to like
it. I love
that.
It. Thank you. All right.
I call that segment Cis White Men Discover Poetry.
Who are those dudes?
They're from the Playdate podcast. Their names are Will and Rusty.
It's really good.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Some of them good. I was like, I don't know. But the parrot and prophet one, yeah. I was like,
that's a bar right there.
That is solid.
I like the bicycle one because a lot of people do that. I feel like buy the new shiny thing, but you still got to work hard. It's not going to help.
And dude, also treating like you shouldn't. Don't treat a stop sign like a like a red light. Mm-hmm. Even though red lights do eventually change. Mm-hmm. Right?
So, let me throw one at you guys. Okay.
All right.
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Okay. Oh, that's really.
So that one right there means like there's a lot of heat going on. Like if you can't take it, then you shouldn't be cooking anything.
That was off the top.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive, dude. That's fly. That's really really impressive.
Yeah. I bet other people will use that.
I think so. Sure. I think it'll take off. Early bird catches the worm. Like if you're the first one out there, there are no other birds around, so you'll get those worms like for yourself.
Nate, wow, you're really good at this.
Here's one that I have said on the show quite a bit. But what if it goes right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we brought this up yesterday also. Like our default is, oh my God, I'm not going to do this. What if I fail? But what if it goes right?
My favorite one from you, besides don't F it up.
always, I think I gave you that advice right before you started the segment.
I was like, no pressure.
And maybe you got this from somebody else, but you were the first person I heard it from was try easier.
That wasn't mine, yeah.
That's too good.
That one's, I was the parrot, not the prophet.
You were the parrot, not the prophet.
On that one. I do say to my kid all the time, using a sports analogy that I've used in here also, he's a soccer player, and I tell him yellow cards are fine, red cards are the ones you have to stay away from. And if you're not a soccer fan, a yellow card is like when you make a foul and the ref goes over and goes, hey, don't do that again. And he takes out his yellow card. A red card gets you kicked out of the game. So a red card is a DUI, knocking somebody up. A yellow card is being too late for an interview, stuff like that.
Yeah, we were all tasked to bring in our own. And this is one that I've said on the show before. And as far as I know, I don't remember hearing it from anybody else, but I remember saying relationships should be work, but they shouldn't be a job.
Ooh, snaps.
Preach. I think I've birthed a couple on the show that I can remember. I don't want someone I can live with. I want someone I can't live without.
Ooh, bars.
If you don't see it, be it. What else have I said? I'm trying to remember them all. Oh, this one I don't get credit for, but I said this over a decade ago and I never heard anybody repeat it. But I used to make fun of my dude because he used to wear matching shirts with his wife that said happy, happy wife, happy life. And I'm like, why don't y'all get a shirt that says happy spouse, happy house? Hey. Ooh. Happy spouse, happy house should be a thing. Men should deserve to be happy too.
Very good. You remember that one you gave that one day where it was, hi, senior citizen lady, I will not give up my seat for you?
That,
you remember that one?
That was not the exact quote.
Sorry, old lady, find somebody else to give up.
I do.
Remember your that. Most famous one. Chestnuts, not checkers.
Okay. That's right.
What else you got?
Those were good.
Princess-like.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah.
Every day.
What a way to bury my good ones, guys.
Abby, you want to finish this off?
Yes, the only one I could come up with yesterday was, don't go looking for Gucci and Goodwill. Keep your expectations where they should be. You're probably not the exception to the rule, but if you are, good for you. Enjoy that Gucci.
Far.
That was
far.
Far.
It's the Burt Show.
You're on the Burt Show.
Dude, her boss accidentally FaceTimed her while he was playing piano with someone she suspected wasn't his wife. Uh-oh. How she would know those noises that were different, like that his wife would make those noises?
Yeah, how would you know that?
No, she heard them talking. That's how she knew.
Okay.
All right, so this is what we call Follow-Up Thursday. You guys hit us up and you're like, hey, XYZ happened on the show. What the heck has happened since? I need an update. So this was a War of the Roses we did a while back for Kelly, whose boss accidentally FaceTimed her while he was playing piano with somebody we don't think was his wife. Abby has the recap.
So one random night, Kelly's boss accidentally FaceTimed her. So when she picked up, she could tell he was, you know, playing piano with a woman that she was like thinking it was his wife. She didn't see anything. She only heard noises, which is scarring enough. And after hanging up, she felt weird and decided to skip work the next day. But when she went back to work, her boss cornered her and he questioned why she didn't hang up the phone sooner. So from that day on, his energy towards her in the office was very different. Kristen suspected that something was weird about this and suggested that Kelly reach out to the wife to apologize. But once Kelly found his wife on Facebook, she noticed that she was away on a work trip during the time of the accidental FaceTime call.
That was really bad advice for me, by the way.
Shouldn't have said that.
No, I was like, what was I thinking to suggest that? Anyways.
So since we didn't have 100% proof that her boss was cheating, we decided to do a War of the Roses. And Kelly's boss fell into the trap and sent roses to a woman named Haley, who was not his wife.
Uh-oh.
So last we had heard, Kelly had no clue what she was going to do with the information. So did she ever confront the boss?
Bird Show, I'd be happy to give you an update.
I did
find out who Haley is. She is the daughter of another guy that I worked with.
Worked. She's using past tense.
She is.
I think a lot of stuff has gone down.
Uh-oh.
I don't think he had any idea that Haley was or is hooking up with him.
Oh, imagine the boss is hooking up with your child.
Yikes. While all this was happening, I realized my sanity was more important than staying in that toxic environment. So I quit my job.
There you go.
Thankfully, I found a new job that I'm really happy with. But even with my own situation fixed, I still didn't like what was being done to my boss's wife. It just didn't sit right with me to walk away and let him keep doing that to her. It's that old J. Cole thing happening again. So I created.
It wasn't sitting right with her soul. Should that be a new segment on the Burt Show? It's not sitting right with my soul.
I'm having a J. Cole moment.
I am scheduling this for tomorrow. We're going to do a segment called "It's Not Sitting Right with My Soul."
I love this.
And you just have to like clear the air.
Yes.
All right, that is on the schedule for tomorrow.
So I created a Gmail account and sent an anonymous email to his wife and told her about the affair her husband was having with a woman named Haley. I made sure not to reveal anything that would trace back to me. Since I'm no longer in that office, I can only reply on secondhand info to now what's happening. From what I've been told, my old boss is really grumpy lately, and the rumor is that he is now going through a divorce. As for him and Haley, I have no idea if they are still seeing each other. If I find out, I'll let you know.
Ooh. I'm a little glad she meddled, even though I'm not like the hugest fan of meddling, but She did it from afar. It wasn't like she was going to lose her job because she had already quit.
She got up out of there. That's a beautiful thing. Found a different environment so she don't have to be there. And then it still kind of did the, I guess, quote unquote, right thing in the end.
Yeah. Were you here when we did this originally?
I don't think so. This story doesn't sound familiar to me, but we do so many of these, like, somebody's cheating and I don't know if I should tell them stories, that it could be any one of them.
I'm just curious, having you here now, like, you get a FaceTime from Bert.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, wow.
Don't put this in my brain.
Yes, no, please
you
do.
Are getting a FaceTime from Bert.
Okay.
And you can tell he is not with the woman that he is supposed to be with. What do you do with that information?
But how would I know that it, unless it's like on her face?
It's not on her face, but something along these lines. Let's just say we don't know how you got there, okay, but you got to where you knew definitively that was not his partner. That was somebody else.
Can I be honest? I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on that information until one day I need to use it.
No, you're gonna use it for the 7C is what you're going to do.
No, I'm going to sit on it because I like getting my checks signed. And then when something comes up, like, I don't know, budget cuts or restructuring, I'm just going to throw it in there like a grenade.
You're, I'm
like,
pretty sure that's blackmail.
Yeah. And for those, best.
For those that don't know, the 7C, that's like prime time on the show.
Uh-huh.
Like, you have certain hours that people are listening more because they're like, they're up, they're getting ready, they're getting to where they got to go. So yeah, that would definitely make prime time on the big show.
I'm more curious as to how long y'all would leave that phone before you hang it up.
Oh, I'm hanging up ASAP.
Immediately,
I don't want none of that.
I'm immediately. You not?
No.
What?
You and Bert have a different relationship though.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bert Show fix at thebertshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bert Show.